You know, praise God. There's much to be encouraged by through His Word, and that's what we'll do this evening. If you'll turn with me to Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41, that's where we'll spend our time. And the trouble of seeing and trusting Jesus Christ. We're in John 16, Jesus said to His disciples, "I have said these things to you, that in Me you may have peace." He says, "And in the world you will have trouble, you have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." So let me pray for us as we begin. Well, Father, we thank You, as we've just sung, for the forgiveness of our sins in Jesus Christ. Our greatest trouble has been removed, the trouble of Your wrath, the trouble of everlasting separation from You. You've reconciled us to You through Your Son. You have reconciled us to You through the blood of His cross. And now we are Your children. And so we cry, glory. We boast in His cross. We bring nothing else but His name before You. And we pray now that You would help us through Your Word to see more of Him, to see Christ in the midst of affliction, to understand and appreciate how You sanctify us in the truth, how You calls us to see more of Your glory through tribulation. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, some years ago, my wife spent a few weeks in Northern Africa and in Uganda and Kenya with a team of ladies just serving some of the churches there. And at the end of their time, one of the churches that was hosting them came to these ladies and said, "You know, you've been a blessing to us. We want to treat you with just a day of just recreation and enjoyment. So we thought, what would you like to have a boat ride down the Nile?" To which my wife and the other lady says, "Yeah, we'd love that. That sounds great." They had images of just one of those nice pleasure boats with the canopy and lemonade and umbrellas and maybe some food and music. And not knowing, there was some misunderstanding of what boat ride meant. And what they meant was whitewater rafting. And if you know this part of Uganda, you know it's home to some of the most dangerous Category 5 rapids in the world. And so that next day, my wife and some of the ladies show up, and they come to the shore, and here's their boat, raft. And rather than being handed lemonade, they're given an insurance waiver to sign. Rather than an umbrella, it's here's a paddle. Rather than someone to play the violin, it's okay, here's your life preserver and the instructions to keep you alive on this journey. And they begin to realize what's happening. This is about to be dangerous. And their guide is from Australia, and so they joke with him, and they say, "Hey, have you ever lost anybody on one of these?" And he goes, "I don't like to talk about it." And so as they're climbing into this boat, they begin to pray. And as they go out onto the Nile, they begin to pray more. And they begin to encounter things they've never seen, and they realize, okay, their lives are in danger, and they learn the meaning of prayer without ceasing. And they survived by God's grace. And they remember getting to the end, and as they're just floating down, exhausted, leaning back on this raft and just praising God for His kindness to them, but not just that, realizing, okay, there is a greater flood, a greater storm that He saved us from. And maybe this is just a little taste, a little picture of seeing the bigger way that He's delivered us from wrath, from hell, from the penalty of our sin. And I found that life is full of many of those kinds of moments, and that following Jesus doesn't mean He protects you from them, which is often what we think. I'll put my faith in Christ, I'll follow Him, it will get easier. Not expecting that, no, many things will get worse. That while He will preserve us through the storm, He won't keep us from the storm. And a natural temptation that we each face in our own ways is to fret and to worry, to withdraw and to isolate, to get angry, to assign blame, to somehow believe that if God really loved us, He would insulate us from trouble. He would insulate us from cancer, insulate us from sickness, insulate us from conflict, insulate us from a difficult marriage, insulate us from persecution, insulate us from the thousand different kinds of suffering without realizing that he doesn't insulate us from trouble, but he loves us more than we would ever imagine. And more importantly, that he will use the trouble to show us more of himself. He will use the trouble to show us Jesus in ways we would never see before. We would never believe him without it. We may think we would. We think, no, Lord, I would trust you. I would know you without all the trouble. He knows better. That we would begin to say with James, count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of any kinds, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. Well, put up your hands if you want to be mature and complete, not lacking anything. All right, everybody. And so do we count it all joy when we face trials of any kind, knowing that, okay, Lord, this is where you show me Christ in ways I never saw before. And that's certainly what we're going to see in Mark chapter 4, verse 35 and following. We're going to look at five things, 5 points. First, the promise. Secondly, the circumstances. Thirdly, the Savior. Fourthly, the point. And then fifthly, the conclusion. The promise, the circumstances, the Savior, the point, and the conclusion. And on that day, when evening came, he said to them, "Let us go over to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him, and there arose a fierce gale of wind. And the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care that we are perishing?" And he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Hush, be still." And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They became very much afraid and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Seeing and trusting and knowing Jesus Christ is far more important than a safe and comfortable life. Think about it a minute. That seeing and trusting and knowing and adoring and worshiping and delighting in Jesus Christ is more important than a safe and comfortable life. That is not easy to believe. In fact, God loves us enough to unsettle and disrupt our lives in order to reveal who he is, to prove how much we need him, to teach us and lead us to worship. That's the main point of today's passage. And it begins with the promise, verse 35, "Let us go over." And the way Jesus made the statement implies he intended for them to arrive on the other side. We're going to the other side. In other words, he's going to give them a kind of promise, a kind of goal, but nothing more. He's not going to say anything about what's going to be involved in the journey, what it's going to be like. He's not going to say anything about the storm that's going to come. At no point does he promise the journey will be easy, only some sense that we're going to get there. We're going to make it. But then the promise also means that he's going with them. There's going to be a time coming when he's going to send them ahead of him in the boat, but that's going to be to make a different point. Right now, he's going to make the journey with them. Which brings us to the circumstances. There's a crowd with them at the time of their departure, and so this journey is going to begin after a very long day of ministry, which was often Jesus' habit. Long day of ministry, now we're going to go do something hard. They're probably quite tired. It's late. It's getting dark. And just from a human point of view, this is not the best time for a big storm at sea test of faith scenario.